I'm gonna try to get started.
Assuming he doesn't die and kill and break.
I think Ben will have to take every member.
I got the battery.
Every member this year is gonna have to bring in one battery as a contribution, you know, for this thing that keeps batteries.
Well, okay. It does, but now I'm using rechargeables, so.
Okay. So anyway, the last thing we saw in the Yerushalmi, the conclusion we came to reading the Yerushalmi was that the Yerushalmi understood. The Yerushalmi had a different text to the Mishnah. And the text of the Mishnah that the Yerushalmi had read, Besula Nises, Liyom Arvi, Biyom Arvi, V'almara Biyom HaChamishi, period, end of discussion. And therefore, the Yerushalmi had a debate among the Amorim between Bar Karpara and Rabbi Elazar as to what the reason for the Mishnah was. And Bar Karpara said it was because of Bracha, which explained both. Almana and Besula, just a different day for each. And for Rabbi Elazar, the reason was Shemahayelo Tanis Besum Hayamashkim the Beis Din. And the Gemara points out, so the Gemara, and just to review, the way we knew that the Yerushalmi meant this and not what the Karban Eidah said, the Karban Eidah's claim was that the Mishnah obviously says that the reason is Tanas Besulim, but the Mishnah itself, by logic, only applies to situations where there's one suffering, namely either if it's an Ishus Kohen or if it's a girl who her father married did Erisin below the age of 3 and a day. So there's only one suffering in each of those cases, and therefore the Mishnah says that you have to get married on a Wednesday, because if in fact he discovers that she wasn't a Basula, there's really a chashash of Isser here that perhaps she committed adultery and is not allowed to remain married to him. So the Karban Eidah says that's all the Mishnah is talking about, but the Amoraim are arguing about all the other cases. When all the other cases where you have a Svek Sveika, in all the other cases where there's a double suffix, whether or not she lost her Besulim when she was married to him, and even if she lost it when she was married to him, so nonetheless, maybe she was raped, and therefore it's a Svek Sveika. So therefore, the Mishnah itself, Medina, it shouldn't be Aser. So then, what's the reason for the din that a Besula must get married on Wednesday? So that's where you have Machlokas. Bar Kapara says that there's no Chashash Isser. Rav Elazar says there is a Chashash Isser. So we pointed out, though, that when the Yerushalmi then attempts to bring a Raya to Rav Elazar, they bring a Raya from a Tosefta which says that Bishas Adchak, they had to get married on Tuesday, you could do that. But if you wanted to then get married on Monday, that was Aser. So the question the Yerushalmi asks is, what's the difference between, once you're moving it earlier than the point of time, what difference does it make whether you move it to Tuesday or Monday? So the Yerushalmi says that no, that obviously what it means is it's a chashash of kirur hadas, that he's going to cool down, and that chashash increases, I'll call it exponentially, with the amount of time that elapses between the discovery that she doesn't have besulim and the time he can actually go into Beis Din. And obviously that must be the concern, because if the issue were over bracha, the way Bar Kapara claims, what difference was it? Once you're not getting married on Wednesday night or Thursday night, who cares when you get married? There's not going to be bracha one way or the other. There's no less bracha on Tuesday night than there is on Monday night. A parenthetically note that today many people, there's a minhag to get married when?
Tuesday,
because the keto. But the truth is, the truth be told, if one were to ask me, I would think that the more appropriate practice, if you were going to pick a specific day to get married, would be Wednesday night, because even though our Bate Dina not the Yoshim, but still the Takana of the Mishnah was to get married Wednesday night. So more on that later. That's why they get married on Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. Because there are Kitov. Kitov was said twice on Tuesday. Because the Melech HaSheni wasn't finished on... That's the only date the wedding hall was available right now. Anyway... what's that? No, they're not. They're from. They're not from. Yes.
Is it Bar Kapara was saying that the issue is bracha? The reason we're getting married Wednesday is bracha. And would that not be sufficient for the Gemara, at least for the Bavli, to say that he wouldn't be chayav? Like, that's the reason he wouldn't be, therefore wouldn't be chayav to support her if the day fell out on Sunday. Mishum bracha.
No, but the point is, the din of the Mishnah, here's a point that should not be lost. And this is, you know, an issue that comes up in many contemporary issues. If the Mishnah, there was a takan in the Mishnah, the takan is essentially binding. It doesn't matter whether you think it's chalish or not. The fact is, a person's not, at the time of the Mishnah, is not supposed to get married until Wednesday evening. Whether the reason is because of chashash issue, whether the reason is because of bracha, that in itself, I think, would be enough. Because, not because the reason, it's... The reason why he's pater from supporting her isn't because of Tanis Basun. He's pater from supporting her because he's not allowed to marry her till Wednesday night. It doesn't matter what the reason behind that is. Strong reason, weak reason, you know, doesn't make a difference.
But wait, so, about the whole thing about how that only applies in the time after Tikkanes, before Tikkanes Ezra.
Gabe, I understand why. I'm not saying it's usher. I'm not saying that you're not allowed only not to get married on Wednesday. I agree based upon that Gemara. Although, incidentally, that Gemara, this is a situation, by the way. You know, I need to apologize. I don't think I've ever named names in Shir, but I've indicated that some of the people involved in Riv Adim, you know, seem to say two different things. What they say on their website about the treatment of halacha, you know, and what effect has halacha, which they say it has zero effect, which I agree with, and yet some of them write elsewhere otherwise. There was an essay that you sent me, but the truth is I read it again, and while I disagree with certain things that the person wrote, I don't think they were actually advocating that. They were suggesting that there are academics who advocate that.
Which essay?
That essay you sent me a long time ago. I'm not going to say who it was. It started out by all these myths that Orthodox Jews believe that Orthodox Judaism actually subscribe to. One, in fact, I was asked last night in Silver Spring, which is, when at Har Sinai, they didn't get actually the Torah like that. I was standing in front of the encoders like the Torah behind you. So I was puzzled. I didn't know what the person was asking. I said, well, it might have been Ksav Ivri, it's supposed to Ksav Ashur. Then, after a little clarification, the person said, no. You know, it's how could you have written all those things that happened in the 40 years before the end of the 40 years? In which case, I responded, I said, of course, Chazal, and at least the Bavli, nobody believes that the Torah was given at Har Sinai, the Torah Shebichsav. The only question is whether it was given piecemeal over the 40 years, or was given, that's Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna, or was given all in Arvo Smo of Chasuma Nitna. Right.
So that was given at the beginning of the...
Not in the Bavli. There are two Deus in Gittin, and neither of those hold that way. That's clear. I don't know if there's a sheet in the Midrashim anywhere else and so on.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Listen, you have a sheet. You have a drasha and brachos how Hanavim and Ksuvim were given at Har Sinai. I don't know what that means. But anyway, Gabe, just put it aside. So anyway, my point in this, so it was that essay. So we talks about, it's really about Riv Adim. So it's the person who's, you know, sort of running it. So the truth is, I don't think that there are any academics who advocate that, because academics, by definition, aren't involved. The real academics, the quote-unquote academics, they're not interested in Pesach Halacha. Some may be from, some may be not from, but they don't have a position because they're not posted. Nor are they rabbis, in effect. But I'm told that this person, you know, I was told in the shiurim that I'm giving now, you know, in the Itim series, that no, he's very strongly against that. So I'm glad to see that we agree on it. But this is a case I always like to point out. It's actually going to produce a chumrah. If you were to introduce mechkar in this case and to draw, you know, take it to what some would say its natural conclusion is to ignore, you know, the stem of the Gemara's treatment, you're actually going to wind up with a chumrah that everybody's mechuyif to get married on Wednesday night, because the way the Gemara understood a certain statement was only because of something that had happened which shouldn't have happened. But we'll come back to that a little later. So anyway, in the Yushalmi, we pointed out that the Karbana Edis Pshat doesn't work, because if in fact even Bar Kapara agrees that there are scenarios in which it's Chashash Isiv Heder, namely in the single Safek cases, Eshes Kohen and Pusim Vaskim Lashanim, so when you quote a Tosefta that says there's a Chashash Isur, right, that Tuesday yes, Monday no, well, Bar Kapara would just say that's talking about the Chad Safek cases, just like the Mishnah is talking about the Chad Safek cases. So the conclusion we reached, I think this is very clear, it was already reached by the Femara, that the Yushalmi didn't only have the first line in the Mishnah. Now, obviously, Rabbi Lasser's reading, his understanding that the reason Absula must get married on Wednesday is because Chashash Isur V'Heter, when you consider the fact that most women are technically a case of Svek Sveka, except for Nishas Kohen, that's the only common one. So if you consider that, so then, it's why does Rabbi Lazar say that the reason in the Mishnah, in fact, is a Chashash Isur, if most of the cases are Svek Sveka? So the Yushalmi doesn't come out and say it immediately, but in effect, the reason is simple, because Rabbi Lazar holds, the Yushalmi later records a Machlokes. I don't think that I actually... No, I didn't record it. Yushalmi has a machlokes, I think Rabbi Yose and Rabbi Lazar, whether or not it is a sveik sveika generally. And Rabbi Lazar holds that, as you see many times, and the last line in the Yushalmi that I have on the sheet, V'chulan minahi da'am Rabbi Hila b'shem Rabbi Lazar, matzah pesach pasuach, osur l'kayim mishum safek sota. Rabbi Lazar says that rape is not matzui, and therefore, it's always the Chad Safek case, and whenever a man discovers his wife wasn't the Basula after a period of Erisin, She's also to him. It's Safek Sota. Now.
Not Matzah, it would be. Or
what's that?
As opposed to more salient.
Right. No, it's so uncommon. He says Kol Islay. The fact that there's no Kol that she was Nensa means we assume it's not there, and therefore you're really left with Chad Safek. The Safek is whether you know, before Erison or after Erison. Okay. So anyway. So remind me to come back and talk about the chumrah we could produce from this, about the wedding dates, okay? We'll come back to that, and there's a line in the Yerushalmi as well. But, so now the question is, what was the Bavli working with? What nusach of the Mishnah did the Bavli have? And now I think it's pretty obvious, if somebody asked me on Thursday, but how do you know what text the Bavli had? And the answer, I think, at this point, having seen all the questions, becomes pretty obvious. When you look at that opening sugya, it changes the entire complexion. And I don't know who asked this, Eyal, if you were bothering me about the question, mipnei ma, meaning, if you look, in other words, the Shmuel is looking at a Mishnah and that says, Besula neses liyam raviv elmana liyam achamishi. And then he draws a connection between the Mishnah and he gives man velo nisu. But the way he asked the question, Mipnei Ma, and in fact, we found an example in Shir. It came up, but there's a Mishnah that I quoted also. Mipnei Ma doesn't mean why.
Which Mishnah
was that? I don't remember. What was the Mishnah that I quoted?
About the beginning of Pesachim.
Yeah, Mipnei Ma Amru Shtei Shuras B'Marteif. Really, which is meaning. Okay.
We found maybe one Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva where he's asking Mipnei Ma Amru about the actual language. I mean, like, why did they say this and not this? But most of them were.
Even granted that, when you look in the Gemara, the initial presentation of Shmuel is very clear. He's not giving a reason. He's not giving a reason why the Takana was established, but he's giving the relevance of the Takana. And when Rabbi Yosef, why do I say that? Because Rabbi Yosef asks a question. He says, Tali Tanya below Tanya. And if you put aside the question, Mipnei Ma, and the language issue, so we explain what Rabbi Yosef was asking. In other words, if Mipnei Ma means Mipnei Nafkamina, so we understand what Rabbi Yosef's problem with Shmuel was. Right? That we understand. Right? In other words, if Shmuel was saying, what's the relevance of Besulam Nisach Siyam Ravi, because you would have thought that Higia Echad B'Shabes Ma'la Mazona, so therefore we teach Besulam Nisach Siyam Ravi. And Rabbi Yosef says, that makes no sense, we've got it all backwards. The reason why he doesn't have to support her when the wedding date comes out on Sunday is because he has to get married on Wednesday. So Rabbi Yosef was bothered by the whole formulation. Now, one second. Then the Gemara comes along, and the Gemara doesn't understand Rabbi Yosef's question. Partially, it doesn't seem to understand Rabbi Yosef's question because they want to read Mipnei Ma means what? Why? And they think it makes. And then their question becomes, but one second, the Mishnah tells you why. So Tali Tanya the Mefarish Tama, B'Tanya the Lo Mefarish Tama. You somehow connect it to a Mishnah for which is not the reason for our Mishnah. The Mishnah gives you the reason why Besula Nisis Liyom Harvi.
So they had it already.
So it's clear that the Stamid, the Gemara, had the text in the Mishnah. Now, why did Rabbi Yosef not formulate it that way? And why did Shmuel even present it that way, assuming that what comes later in the Gemara is a reworking? The answer is because they didn't have the reason in the Mishnah. Now, that on its own I would not be convinced with. But you go to the later sugya on Daf Tes, right? And coming back to the point that we made, the entire sugya takes on a new complexion. The proof that the Mishnah that Abaye had didn't have the text that we do, is because Abaye, when he wants to prove Rabbi Lazar's statement, he quotes only the first line of the Mishnah, and then he starts to reconstruct the logic of the Mishnah to demonstrate that Rabbi Lazar is correct. In other words, Abaye simply cites the Mishnah that says a Besula gets married on Wednesday. And Abaye says, why must that, Wednesday yes, Thursday no. And why must that be? Because we're afraid he's going to cool down. So isn't that explicit in the Mishnah? That we pointed out already. So the answer is, no, it's not explicit in Abaye's Mishnah. But there's another problem in that sugya as we pointed out. The other problem in the sugya we pointed out is that Why does Abaye think the Mishnah is a raya to Rabbi Elazar? The way the Bavli understood Rabbi Elazar is that Rabbi Elazar was coming to teach us a din of ne'amanus of the Baal by Pesach Pasuach. When it comes to a sheet which is bloodied or not bloodied, so there you don't need ne'amanus of the Baal. But Rabbi Elazar must be coming to teach us about the ne'amanus of the Baal to say Pesach Pasuach Motzasi. So Abaye attempts to prove it from the Mishnah. But here's the question. Even if Abaye is right that the reason for the Mishnah has to do with Tanas Besulim, because she has to get married on Wednesday, not Thursday, how do you know from the Mishnah that the concern in the Mishnah is about Pesach Pasuach? Maybe it's only about a sheet. What was Abaye? And the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, your Diyuk Abaye is wrong. The Mishnah doesn't prove Rabbi Elazar, because maybe the Mishnah is only talking about a case of Tanas Damim, not of Pesach Pasuach. Again, Tanas Damim means he has a sheet which doesn't have blood on it. That you don't need is Nemanis. You just need to see the sheet. Pesach Pasuach says, in a situation when we don't expect it to be bleeding, he felt that there was no resistance. He found the Pesach Pasuach. So what was Abaye thinking? So you have to go back to the beginning of the sugya and you look at the Yushalmi. What did Rabbi Elazar actually say? Rabbi Elazar said in the formulation of the Yushalmi that Matzah HaPesach Pasuach Asura Alav Mishum Safek Sota. That's not about Nemanus. That means if the husband discovers his wife's not a Basula, not talking about a Nemanus issue, it might very well be a bloody sheet or the lack of a bloody sheet. And he produces this. Now, theoretically, just because she's not a Basula and she may forfeit the Ksuba doesn't mean she's Asura Lo. Rabbi Elazar says there's a Din Chashash Safek Sota here. We are concerned, no matter what she says, no matter what he believes, we are concerned that she committed an act of znus after Erisin, and therefore she's Asurala.
Asurala as opposed to Asur L'Kayima?
No, same thing. Asur L'Kayima is Asur L'Kayima Mishram Safek Sota.
Same, because Asurala is his perspective. Asur
L'Kayima
is L'Kayima,
our perspective. Yes, even better. Asur L'Kayima Mishram Safek Sota.
Safek Sota requires no kino, it's a sira.
No, because this is not the Sota of... What's that? This is the sota. Firstly, there's no birur here, and it wouldn't work anyway. But there's enough of raglai in the davar that she committed znus that we're choshesh.
And we call that sota anyway.
Because a woman who commits adultery in front of Adam is called a sota also.
What's that?
A woman who commits znus vadai without kinui.
It's dira.
What's that? She is, but we also that's called sota vadai, as opposed to sota safek. What we know, what the Torah calls sota, what the Masechta in principle is about is a safek sota. But we also use the term for vadai. Okay. So, what happens though in the Bavli? Now let's look at Abaye's proof. Does Abaye prove Rabbi Elazar properly? Yes, he does. If all Rabbi Elazar was talking about, his claim was that if a man discovers his wife is not a psula, that there's a chashash isur that we are makbid on. So Abaye says, Afanan nam nitinina, Besula gets married on Wednesday. Abaye explains, why is it that a Besula gets married on Wednesday? It must be Shemhayilotanis Besulim, Yehmashkim Lebezdin. And that would only be our concern, as the Gemara said, Hulamai, Ilamesiv Leksuba. If the Mishnah was simply concerned about him getting out of the Ksuba, well, if he wants to be Mochal on the Ksuba, that's his right. It must be a chashash isur. So Abaye's diuk is actually quite a good diuk. He's not being makbid on Pesach Pasuach versus Tainas Damim. He's simply, without that, those lines in the Mishnah, as I pointed out on Thursday, you look at the rest of the Mishnahs in the Perek that deal with the Tainas Pasulim, and the way the sugyas deal with it, it's about money. How do you know that if he's mochel, he can't remain married to her? The answer is you don't. The only possible hint to this is the first Mishnah that a Besula must get married on Wednesday, provided that the reason she must get married on Wednesday is because Beis Din sits on Thursday. So that's what Abaye was saying. Afa naman sina, Rabbi Elazar's point, Besula nisei sedem ravi, and you need the whole explanation. So Abaye's afa naman nitrina makes perfect sense if you read Rabbi Elazar like the Yushalmi does. Why does the Bavli in Shaka V'Tarya not read Rabbi Elazar like the Yushalmi does? Why not? Because by the time this sugya is being composed, the Mishnah already has had the text of Rabbi Elazar creep into the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar, by the way, was not the only Amora who held this way. Clearly, Rabbi Yosef held this way in the first sugya, in that Shaktu quasi-Braisa, but it's not really a Braisa. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, which we haven't spoken, we've read it, but on Daf Gilmam and Aleph, also holds that way. We're going to look at that statement again. And Abaye is also backing up Rabbi Lazar now, right? But Abaye is already later. But by the time of the Stam of the Gemara, that reason had worked its way into the Mishnah. And when the Misadre HaSugya are looking at Rabbi Lazar's statement, they're looking at the Mishnah, it's like, Pshita, thank you, Rabbi Lazar, we know that. So that's why the Bavli understands that no, it's not an issue of Safek Sota like the Yerushalmi presents Rabbi Lazar. It must be an issue of Nemanus. Now, if it's over a sheet of blood, why do you need the Nemanus of the bowels? So the Bavli understands Rabbi Lazar's Pesach Pasuach as a literal taino, that he doesn't have a sheet, but that Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. That's not the way the Yerushalmi understood it.
That's the
Chiddush they're attributing to Rabbi Lazar. They take the Pesach Pasuach literally as opposed to a Melitza. As opposed to Pesach... What's that? In other words, Rabbi Lazar, even from a biological perspective, I don't remember what the Yerushalmi has on this. From a scientific perspective, from what I understand, the idea of having a Pesach Sagor without there being, and you can, the Gemara speaks about it. There are ways of being, you know, if Bia is done in the appropriate way, with the greatest degree of gentleness, you know, which is not typically what a chassan's experience is, because hopefully he has no experience, you know, with under the proper environmental circumstances, namely of lubrication, it's conceivable that one could destroy the bacillin without any bleeding. I've spoken to someone, a from OBGYN who has... We don't know what this hatayah... Yeah, except for that the hatayah, the assumption is that you don't destroy the psulim, she's still a psula. The assumption of the Bavli is that you don't destroy the psulim, and they could be, you know, he could be bald hatayah the first time. But in Mitzius, many situations, there are many cases, I don't know what percentage, where women don't have the psulim anymore. They are apparently a vestige of an embryonic stage. But done properly, which is again virtually impossible for any chassan who has no experience, so you could theoretically destroy the basulum without any bleeding. It's unlikely it's going to happen, but it's possible. But the notion that you're going to have a Pesach Sagor and nonetheless, you know, this is a situation. In fact, how does it have to work for the Gemara? It has to be a case, the way the Rishonim say, that you don't expect any blood. And yet the Pesach is Sagor. That seems to be a highly unlikely scenario. What? Why are we even being done on the husband's taina that he found the Pesach Pasuach? Just look at the sheet.
He has his own because he has
no. Look at the sheet. You don't have blood. If there's no blood, why do you need him to say Pesach Pasuach? He can say, I found Adam.
Okay.
Right? The Rishonim addressed this. In other words, you don't rely upon his nemanus when you have Eidus Brura, one way or the other. Right? If he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, but she has a sheet full of blood, it's sort of like, buddy, you're deluding yourself. So the Rishonim say, you look in Tosas on top of Tesam and Aleph, and they quote Rabbi Nochman, I think, the discussion about what are the scenarios in which you expect there to be no dam, and yet you expect there to be a Pesach Sagor. But the truth is, at least in the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Lazar wasn't claiming that this scenario, there's a Pesach Pasuach but no Dam. Pesach Pasuach just was another term for meaning. It was Pesach Pasuach and there was no Dam.
And
that's my Raya, that she's not a Basula. But he says, I love her and I want to be married to her anyway. But we say to him, no, Asur L'Kaimim Yishom Safek Sota. But the Bavli couldn't interpret Rabbi Lazar's Chiddush that way and his statement that way, because they already had the Nusach of the Mishnah, which explicitly gives us Tanis Besulim. And therefore, if that's all Rabbi Lazar meant, the way the Yerushalmi's reading, there's no Chiddush in Rabbi Lazar. That's why the Bavli now takes a completely different Kivun, and it assumes it's an issue of Nemanus. And that's why they immediately say, Pshita! But we have a Mishnah in Kiddushin that says, Omer Isha Kidashtich, V'hi Omeris Lo Kidashtani. So he's Neman to be Asur Bekrovah, and she's not Asur Bekrovah. Why? Why is he Asur Bekrovosea? Because Shavya Nafshechetich Yisur. Adam is Neman Alatzma Keme Eidim. So the Bavli says, no, I wouldn't have known it from that statement, because there he knows Vadai. Here, we would say that even though he thinks he knows, he really doesn't know. And then the sugya goes on and on like that. Now you get to Abaye, the sugya has to, again, you have an earlier sugya of Rabbi Lazar and Abaye. And Abaye says, you know what, Afanan Tzima like Rabbi Lazar, the Mishnah. But the stomach, but the Gemara looks at it and says, well, how exactly is Abaye proving the Mishnah? So at the end of Abaye's proof, I don't know how much of it's actually Abaye and how much is Stam and the Gemara. At the end of Abaye's proof, the Gemara says, "My lav the katoin tainas pesach pasuach," and the answer is no. Lav the katoin tainas dam, and Abaye's proof is wrong. Abaye's proof only collapses if you've read into Rabbi Elazar something that maybe the Shalmi holds he didn't even say. As soon as you assume that Rabbi Elazar's Chiddush is about Ne'amonis on Davka, literally Pesach Pasuach, when there's no Dam, then you're forced to add that piece of a diak onto Abaye, because otherwise Abaye hasn't proven anything. Quoting the first Mishnah only proves that there's a Chashash Isser, but that might only be in cases where there's no blood on the sheet, where you expect there to be blood. So that's why the Bavli adds on, my lad the katan tanis pesach pasuah, and says no, and it gives the obvious dechia. The obvious dechia, which makes us ask, why did Abaye think it was a raya in the first place? The reason why Abaye thought it was a raya in the first place is because he was trying to prove something different than the sugya takes him to be proving, because the sugya understood Rabbi Elazar differently. Now,
really, Abaye was the same as Rabbi Elazar.
Now, Abaye was on the same page as Rabbi Elazar.
Abaye
had the same nusach of the Mishnah that they had in Eretz Yisrael, that all the Amoraim had. The first time we know that they had different nusach was the Sam and the Gemara and Daf Beis Amid Beis, and apparently the Stam sugya and Daf Tes as well. Now, what we obviously have is a sugya that started earlier with Abaye trying to prove Rabbi Elazar. There might have been another piece of the sugya that was early, and we pointed this out on Thursday as well. We noted that the second attempt, the kasha of the Gemara and Rabbi Elazar, by the way, makes so much, and I think it reads so much more straight if you assume that working with the original Rabbi Elazar. If you go back and look at the Bavli's second question, Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, Va'amar Rabbi Elazar Ina Isha Nesera Sabala Elal Iske Kinesh Tiru Chamasa Shahaya. So one could ask, the Bavli says, how can Rabbi Elazar say that there's a chashash, that the woman is Asur Labayla in this case, if we know that an Isha is only Neseres when it's Kino in Stira? The only kind of suffix that a woman is Asur Labayla on is when there's Kino in Stira. Now, if you think about it, Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, if Rabbi Elazar was coming to talk about an issue of Ne'emonus, what's the Gemara's question from an Inyan which has nothing to do fundamentally with Ne'emonus? The question is, what standard of evidence, what standard of presumption makes a woman, do we presume she committed adultery in the Asura Labayla? So the Gemara, the statement of Rabbi Elazar says that the only time a woman is presumed to be Asura Labayla is when not any suffix is not enough. It has to be Kinu V'Stira. That's a Chiddush Gzeiras HaKasa and Uchamasa Shahaya, whatever that means. So if Rabbi Elazar was speaking about not the nemanos of the husband, but the level of evidence required to aser an isha al baila, not for the husband to aser, for we, the Beis Din, the Gemara's question is a much more direct question. But if the Gemara is talking about, if Rabbi Elazar is only talking about nemanos, so you have to take two steps. You have to say that even though the kasha was as follows, even though Rabbi Elazar says that we give nemanos to the husband, but even if we're momming the husband that he found the Pesach Pasuach is not enough to aser Isha al Baila. You could do that. It's not impossible. This part of the Gemara could go either way, but it reads a little more direct if you assume the original Rabbi Elazar. It's not impossible either way. I mowed it to that. You know, my initial inclination originally, I didn't see it as being the proto-sugya, but it might be. Either way, I can live either way with that. Okay. Now, so is that relatively clear so far? Again, just a very brief summary. Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, Omer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Nemen La'osur Aleph. And notice that the Bavli's quotation is different than Yerushalmi's quotation. It has, in effect, been consciously or unconsciously edited to fit the context of the Bavli, which is an Emonis issue. Because the way Rabbi Elazar is quoted in the Yerushalmi is, Matzah Pesach Pasuach Asur L'kayim Mishum Safek Sota. It's not about Ne'emonis. It's about if we're dealing with a fact, she wasn't the Besula, are we Choshesh that she committed adultery or not? Or as Ben said before, better, are we Choshesh that she committed adultery? But in the Bavli, the statement has morphed into a statement about Ne'emonis. What Abaye's, and therefore the Bavli has to understand Rabbi Elazar's statement, there's no issue of Ne'emonis when it comes to the white sheet or the red sheet. Let's just look at the sheet. Ne'emonis can only be an issue when the sheet is not a raya, and we're relying upon him to say, I found Pesach Pasuach. So the Bavli took a literalist interpretation of Rabbi Elazar. Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Neman La'osra Alav. Literally Pesach Pasuach, not Tanas Damit. Now Abaye's Raya, though, Abaye was trying to prove Afanam Etina that Rabbi Elazar was correct based upon the first Mishnah. And Abaye's proof was a good proof, or was a relatively good proof, if you assume that Rabbi Lazar is like Rabbi Lazar of the Yushalmi, that it's simply about whether we are Choshe Shvis Isser V'Heter. And how does Abaye prove that by Tanya's Besulim, we are Choshe Shvis Isser V'Heter? Because the Mishnah says a Besula must get married on Wednesday. And the only apparent reason for a Besula getting married on Wednesday is because we want him to come to Beis Din on Thursday if he finds out she wasn't the Besula. And the only reason we are desperate for him to come to Beis Din is because you can't be Mochla on Isser V'Heter. You can be Mochla on Liksuba. He wants to be Mochla, Gusun Tehet, Shalom Al Yisrael. But we are Choshesh for Isser V'Heter. The Gemara, however, had to reinterpret Abaye's question and had to completely reinterpret Rabbi Elazar because of the text of the Mishnah that they had, which made explicit the fact that the reason for Besula Nisa Selmarvi is Shamahaya Tanis Besula Mashkim LeBeis Din. And if Rabbi Elazar is only saying that there's a Chashash Isser Safek Sota, the Rabbi Elazar is not telling us anything that the Mishnah hasn't already told us, unless what Rabbi Elazar is being mechadesh is Pesach Pasuach literally. The Mishnah is only talking about, and the Mishnah, from the Mishnah we might only know on our own for sure Tainas Damim. That once we can prove she wasn't the Psula, we'll choshesh for Safek Soda. But how do you know if it's just he says Pesach Pasuach? So that's what the Bavli assumed Rabbi Elazar's Chiddush was. And therefore, of course, that Abaye's proof really collapses, which is what the Gemara says. Because Abaye turns to the first Mishnah to prove it. But the first Mishnah doesn't prove Pesach Pasuach, and only proves Tanis Damim. No,
do you think the Bavli reinterpreted Elazar because it was Ali Shema Mishnah, or because Abaye was jumping through hoops to prove something that was pretty self-explanatory? It's not like his statement.
There is no way of knowing that. In other words, assuming that the received sugya that the Masadri HaSugya received contained Abaye and Rabbi Elazar, it's the composite picture. And you can look. It's looking at one or the other. Looking at one or the other would produce that. But I think even Rabbi Elazar alone is enough to sort of set off the alarm bells. Moshe, do you have another question? Go on.
Meaning the Stam is clearly aware of like certain times of the Gemara when this type of thing happens, when like someone says, "Oh, that wasn't an intermission or something." That happens in the actual Gemara also. So how did they miss it this time? How did they not?
Does it?
I'm saying it's happened before when.
Here's a very important methodological point, which is the Gemara will say sometimes lavadate, which means he didn't know the brisa. He didn't know brisa. I see one of the rules of Amoraim. Okay, if you went to Amora school, you have to know all the Mishnayos, right? It's assumed that Amoraim knew all the Mishnayos. It's not now that sometimes they don't get tufted from a Mishnah, but brisa is the Gemara will say, Masnisa lo
Shmiele. Like things like Netza Ravai and Karen Ravai, like you have different yourselves of the Mishnah,
right? My assumption is that they were on the Misadrim of these sugyos were unaware of the fact that the Amoraim had a different nusach of the Mishnah. What's that?
Were they not conscious of the possibility?
They had to be conscious of the possibility because they knew that sometimes there were questions in Mishnayos. But my assumption in this case, they just were unaware of it. Moshe.
It's what the Bavli had left. In other words, they couldn't, based on what the Yerushalmi is, everything seems hunky-dory, assuming that the mission that they had is the mission that we see in the that phase, and therefore they had to use Rabbi Elazar, or at least either they heard it differently, or they're taking what Pesach so literally and saying, okay, we have to understand in terms of Nemonos because we don't need it otherwise.
Correct.
But when Abaye comes later on, that's actually an earlier...
Correct. Right. And the point is that Abaye's proof makes sense if you read Rabbi Elazar like you do in the Yerushalmi, but it doesn't make sense if you read it the way the Bavli does, which is exactly what the Bavli says. In other words, it's docha Abaye's hafanana mitina, because the way they're reading Abaye hasn't... It's not a proof.
And that piece of Gemara, when the Gemara is rejecting Abaye there, that piece of the Gemara doesn't necessarily have the piece of the Mishnah.
No, it does. It does. No. The part that Abaye spells out the proof up until the last line, Umay lav de katan tainas pesach pasuach lo de katan stamim. That's that last part is the Gemara filling in the part. The Aramaic before maybe Abaye speaking. It could be the Gemara extrapolating. I think it's probably Abaye speaking, and certainly if it's Abaye speaking, it's because he didn't quote the rest of the Mishnah because he didn't have it. Shalom.
Even with all of this kind of work to figure out what the Mishnah said in the time of Amoraim,
still don't understand what Rabbi Yosef is saying at all on, in the first sugya. Because first when he quotes Shmuel, that Shmuel is not clear, and then his response to, him, to that tradition is also... So that makes sense now if you say what the Mishnah must have meant. But even so, he doesn't answer what Shmuel was saying, because he just puts Shmuel to the end of the thing. And makes
so one of the questions... Right, I don't know... See, I wonder, and I don't know, it may very well be that Rabbi Yosef simply said, where's the Bava Basra? Let me think of the Bava Basra for 1 second. Just want to see one thing there. Where is the Bava Basra? That's my, oh, here it is. Right. See, Rabbi Yosef doesn't answer the, see, Rabbi Yosef may not be the one who's answering the question. In other words, Rabbi Yosef's not the one who teaches the Brice at the end. Rabbi Yosef just said, Mari Davram, Tali Tani Natani, leaves there. If you look at the Sugya Bava Basra, where Rabbi Yosef says the same thing, you have to check what happens in Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef is not the one, may not be the one who... What's that?
We looked that one up this morning.
Shabbos, right? Yeah. It fits in the same category. No, the logic is there. It's there. It's about Bizu Mitzvah and Kisei Adam is Av L'chulam.
Yeah, but then, so there the Gemara gives a different answer. It says no, because it says Sukkah Tanya and Hanukkah Lo Tanya, and then it brings a bright up for Sukkah. And then so Yosef comes and says no, it says Dam Abdikulam. And he's like, doesn't ask the mission, the bright has nothing to do with that. And like, he's just answering the question, not like you want
to
answer
it. I have to look at that Sukkah again. So I'm just going to look at the Bava Basra for the moment. Bava Basra, Yosef just leaves as a kasha. Right? And the Gemara may be responsible for reworking the answer. Rabbi Yosef says, "Mari davar tali tami lo tanya, ela I itmar hachi itmar." Am Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel may not be Rabbi Yosef speaking.
Right. And if this,
I have to look. Give me the Gemara here. Chaim, can you pass me a Shabbos there for a second? It's Chaf Beis, right? So again, the Gemara wanted to know what's the din of being mistapik mino yisukah. So Rabbi Shuban Levi responded saying, they said it's also lahartos moskin eginer chana. Because Rabbi Yosef says, what's he talking about? You got it backwards. We have a mishnah for sukkah, a brisa for sukkah. Chanukah is not as pashut. 1 second.
Chanukah was an
amarik
statement.
Okay, so Chanukah lo tanya.
Right. Which is the same thing as Bava Basra, where it's also an amarik statement.
No, but in Bava Basra, no, but the point, see, the common denominator amongst the two of them is, what's
well,
the answer?
I think there's two common denominators. One is that they're both Mimras of Amoraim versus that.
But the I think it's clear in you can, in other words, yes, they're not, the two things, they're maybe Mimras of Amoraim, but they're also not logically the source.
Right.
That's what I assume.
Yeah, his issue could be either one, though. I don't think it's like.
No, but my point, the way I think, what I think Tanya below Tanya means, is that you're putting in, and it doesn't mean exactly the same thing. It may not mean the exact same thing in each case. It means you're putting the cart before the horse. And it doesn't mean exactly this. It's very hard to figure out what was Rabbi Yosef asking here. In Ksubos, well, the others are easier to understand, right? You have explicit brisa, but I think what really is going on in certainly in Bava Basra is not just the question of B'dilo Tanya. It's not that it's an Amoraic statement. It's that you're being told A on B when B is not a given. C is the given. B is the rule that's extrapolated from C. And really, what you wanted was A because of C. In other words, you have to give the real cause, not be scratching your head this way, in effect. So I don't think that this...
But there you could say the stum seems to be saying that we have an explicit place where it says that...
Yes,
thing,
but the point,
like
but the point that... No, but no, it's... No, 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 it's... But it's more than that, I think. I think the point of the Brisa and Shabbos, the point of the Gemara and Shabbos is that, how do you know that it's Asa L'Hartos Mos Kenegener Hanukkah? How do we know that? From Noye Sukkah.
Right.
So you're saying, but you're saying that Noye Sukkah, is it mutter to do? So you say, because Ner Hanukkah. No, the point is when they asked him, you should have gone straight to the Mishnah. Not to being Mratzemos, you know, Kenega Ner Hanukkah, which itself finds its root from the Mishnah in Sukkah. And then Rabbi Yosef says, ultimately, Avon Dechul and Dam. It's based upon Exeris HaKosav, right? V'shafachas tamo v'chiso be'afar, v'lo b'yado, v'lo b'raglo, or something like that, whatever it is. I think that even the Gemara Shabbos is this idea that you've got things backwards. You've got things backwards. So I grant you those are two situations where you have a clearly established principle. You know, that Naisik or Asurim, Biyada Lagarsha really a Mishnah? A Braisa?
Biyada Lagarsha is just a
Svara. Right. It's not that there's a Tanya there.
Right.
Right. In fact, no, is Ha Omer Gerashti Asishti Neman?
No, that's Rabbi Yochanan.
Right, okay, so you don't even have a Tanya there.
Yeah,
right,
but
you have a given. You have a given, is my point. Tanya doesn't have to be a braisa. It means an established principle.
Yeah.
That one, in this context, Gabe, only. What?
Tanya, he's saying you're trying to prove from a Mishnah from Rabbi Yochanan, which is the name of the Amorite.
I think the simple reading of Baba Basra of Tali Tanya b'dilo Tanya, it's not that it's an Amoraic Memra, as much as Rabbi Yochanan's notion that Abal Sha'amar Gerashti Shishti Nemon is based upon the basic Svar B'yodo. That's why when the Gemara turns, think what the Gemara does, the Gemara turns around and changes the statement to Ha'omer Zebini Nemon Ho B'yodo L'Garsha. Why does the Gemara say Tali Tanya b'dilo Tanya? There's no brisa that says B'yodo L'Garsha. The answer is doesn't have to, because Tali Tanya though Tanya doesn't mean you have to have a brisa source, it means it has to be a given. In that case, it's a Svara. In the case of Shabbos, it happens to be a Mishnah.
And that's how Rashi learns it in Suvas. He says it's Shnuya. He doesn't talk about necessarily.
Well, Shnuya does mean a Braisa.
Because it doesn't mean a Braisa for sure.
Yes, it does. It does. No, the word Shnuya means, you know, we say, you know, Davarzeh, you know, well, I shouldn't say it. Shnuya, we say.
Rashi knew the Sugyas in Baba Basra and Shabbos.
No, but in Shabbos, he actually says, Tali Tanya, which is a
breakdown. But the Lo Tanya. Right, but I think that the common denominator all of Rabbi Yosef's statements are that you're taking the given and the non-given and you're trying to establish it as the foundation for bringing the given. Now, I think that you're asking about the conclusion of the Sigur Yosef does. That may not be Rabbi Yosef speaking. That may be the Gemara reworking it. It may be the Rabbi Yosef always. And I know in Shabbos he says everyone the chulam dam, but in Baba Basra it appears to me not necessarily Rabbi Yosef who's reworking the statement. And it may be Rabbi Yosef here either. If it's a stam in the Gemara reworking it, then you understand why they take Shmuel's original chiddush, whatever it was, and they shove it to the end of the brisa. Because for them, when you say Mema Omru, you have to give the reason that the Mishnah says, and then you go on and why not Sunday and da 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 da.
I would tend to believe
Shmuel was saying the following. What Shmuel really meant to say was what comes at the end there, which is that if you set a date, but the date comes out on a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday or a Friday or a Thursday, but not on a Wednesday, the husband is exempt from supporting her because of the takana that a besula must get married on Wednesday. That's what Shmuel was coming to say.
But
and that's all
of... That connect to the question? Like, how did Shmuel think that?
So the question was, what is the relevance? What nafgamina does it produce the fact that a basula must get married on Wednesday, beyond the fact that she must get married on Wednesday? I think that even with that said, given the statement that Shmuel quoted, the most logical thing that Shmuel was trying to say was that takana is sufficiently binding that we don't blame the husband, and therefore he's exempt from supporting her. I think at the end of the day, until you introduce the reason, the why, I think that's what Shmuel was trying to say, and the statement got garbled. In the same way that I'm willing to buy in Baba Basra, what he was trying to say is that your Neman, Zebani Neman, may be other Lagarsha, even though what was quoted was the derivative of Biyada Lagarsha, a different derivative. These are both derivatives of Biyada Lagarsha.
And then what was Rabbi Yosef's Tali Tanya, Biyada
Tanya? So you're telling us that the reason for telling us Besula Nises Liyom Bayom Rishon is because you would have thought that if he gives mana biyom rishon, that he'd have to support her. Kamash malam besul nisusim rvi. It's backwards. The reason why he doesn't have to support her is because the Mishnah says besul nisusim rvi. It's not a conceptual issue that Shmuel's din was crazy. It was just the way it was presented, as if the purpose of the Mishnah is ayal, as you said, to tell us besul nisusim rvi. The totza of that is that you're exempt from supporting her. That is what Rabbi Yosef was asking. In other words, you've got it backwards. If the reason for telling us besul nisusim rvi is not to tell us that you'll be exempt on if it comes out on Yom Rishon, but rather the reason you're exempt if it comes out on Yom Rishon is because it's a takana, you must get married on Wednesday. And once that takana is there, you can't blame the husband anymore. And therefore, as hayotze mimena, is that he's exempt.
He's asking on the inherited tradition that was at his time, his previously, and like that's why the whole tradition is put in the ass on it.
Mm-hmm. And the Gemara reworks it because they read the Stama immediately says Tali Tani the Mefarish Taima the Loma Farish Taima, because they're now dealing with if you're in a bigger puzzle, at least for Rabbi Yosef, Shmuel wasn't Rabbi Yosef may have understood immediately, may Ma didn't mean why, despite that's unusual. But the Gemara, the stomach of the Gemara, couldn't wrap its mind around the fact that Shmuel didn't bother to quote Thomas Pesulim, because when he says Mipnei Ma, they read that, and they have the Mishnah that gives you the reason. So they explain, Rabbi Yosef's Kasha was really Tali Tani the first time, Tam Losh Taima, and then when they rework Shmuel, the Mipnei Ma is immediately followed by the reason.
It's not hard to say that Rabbi Yosef understood Mipnei Ma one way, and then the Stam.
Yes, I think that's. Given that I think Shmuel did not mean as the why, but I could still see you're doing the same. You did this. You've done the same thing that the Stam of the Gemara did, even without forgetting about the text of the Mishnah. You just looked at the words and say this must mean why. And they were even more troubled by it than Rabbi Yosef would have been, because they had a text of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yosef didn't have.
So that would be even more reason why they would interpret it not as Mipnei Ma, but as.
No, but you see what they couldn't, but no, you see the point is they read Tali Tani, the Rabbi Yosef's Kasha. You're saying that they should have figured out something else, but they didn't. They thought that they took the words Mipnei Ma, and they insisted it must be why, and Rabbi Yosef must be asking the Kasha of why give the reason that's not there when the reason is there, and then that when they reformulate it, they put the reason in. So yes, why did they not understand? Like the Baalei Tosfos understood that Shmuel originally was asking something different. They understood that. Why did the Stam of the Gemara not? They didn't want to go that way. I don't know. Moshe?
There's an understanding that the Tosfos Gemara V was standard practice, and that Chacham had to come along and say in the Mishnah, and then that's essentially Shmuel's question, Mipnei Ma. But we know already, of course, the Tosfos Gemara V, because that's what we do. But why does Chazal have to tell us to make a tachan as such? Or is it the other way around?
No, it's not. No, you're going to the Yael's issue. The way I understand Shmuel's statement is meant originally, Shmuel was coming to tell you about a nafkamina of the, not a reason for why takana, but a nafkamina. The immediate nafkamina, as the Yael said, is you got to get married on Wednesday. Okay, right. But that's nice. So that's the din. Are there any other nafkaminas that produces the fact that you're mechuyev to get married on Wednesday? So Shmuel said, there's another nafkamina, that if the designated time of the Mishnah later comes, higias man v'lo nisu, he's not at fault. We don't hold the Takanas Chachamim exempts him from having to support until Wednesday.
In other words, we can read that the Mishnah is basically recording that, number one, Chazal made a Takana of the Sonis Yisim R.V. for the reason that of Mashkel Abayim. And then Shmuel comes along and says...
No, we'll start... No, there's no reason given in the Mishnah, remember.
Right,
Shmuel...
Right.
We don't know. Whatever the reason is, it's not the issue. And there is the Takana, you get married on Wednesday.
So, we're assuming that initially we don't know the reason. Nobody knew the reason.
They weren't talking about the reason. It may very well have been that Shmuel or Bios, it may be that they did hold this way. I don't know. But they're not talking about the reason. They're not interested in the svara behind. They're interested in the ramifications. They're poskim. They're not briskers at this point, or lamdanim, or philosophers, right? They just want to know what are the how. In effect, you may even look at the question of how powerful takana is this, how binding is this. If he gives melon nisu, could you ignore the takana maybe, right? Because he's going to be chayt the supporter. Maybe he's not. What should then mean? Maybe he's chayt the supporter anyway, because it's whatever. That's what Shmuel's exploring. Shmuel says, you know what? The takana has enough takifus that you're not machoyif the supporter, even though he gives melon nisu until Wednesday comes. Now, moving on to another din, and here comes back to my, and here you can see the difference between this and the Yerushalmi. If you look in the Yerushalmi for a moment, the Yerushalmi says as follows, in between the two sets of three dots. B'malkom Shabbat Eidinim Yoshem B'chol Yom. This is a kasha only according to Rabbi Elazar. Tinase B'chol Yom. Let a woman get married every day. U'b'malkom She'ein Bat Eidinim Yoshem B'chol Yom. Lo Tinase Kol Ikar? A funny statement. So maybe she shouldn't get married at all. Okay, that's obviously ridiculous. But the truth is, she should be able to get married any day also. The Yerushalmi says She'lo Lakor Z'manu Shorvi. They didn't want to, you don't uproot the Takana period. The Gemara says V'yakers Manashurvi. Why not? So they say Afhu Islay Kadad Tani Bar Kapar Bar Kapar Mameshakasim Bracha. Rabbi Blazer also cared about bracha, perhaps. Now that's interesting. But hold on. V'tinase b'rishon v'yashkim l'beis din b'sheni. So why not get married on Sunday, and you can go to Beis Din on Monday? And note the answer of the Yerushalmi, which is interesting for other reasons as well, because I don't know if they have our Brisa Bet Shaktu. They may not even, I don't know if they, here it's not there, and I don't know if it's anywhere else in the Yerushalmi. Istaboy Meimar Shalalak or Zmanu Shervi, you just don't want to uproot the Takana. Istaboy in the Meimar Kadad, the Tani Bar Kapar, the Bar Kamar, Meshkasa, and Bracha. Here the Yerushalmi presents it as two days. There were two people held that the Takana was binding. It doesn't matter when Beis Din sits. Besula gets married on Wednesday. Now, the interesting thing is that according to the Yerushalmi, it would appear, even when Beis Din sits every day or never sits, which is our scenario, you still have to get married on Wednesday, according to the Yerushalmi. There's no dispensation for getting married any day of the week for a Besula. That's interesting in its own right. But if you have a Machlokas, the Bavli, and Yerushalmi, how do you paskin? Like the Bavli. Okay. But let's go. We don't have Batei Dinim Kivuim. We have enough trouble finding honest Batei Din. We also don't need Batei Dinim for these cases for the most part because there's no Chashashis of a Heter. Because we do Erisin and Yisuin together. There's no way she could. If she's not a Besula, we don't assume it happened between the time of the Chuppah and that night.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Sodom and Amora were not.
That would be pretty impressive.
Like a day or something like that.
That would not be pretty impressive, Chaim. Pretty pretty depressive, yes. I'm sorry.
And a day in which the Erisin and Yisuin were separated by a day or something, which happens occasionally for whatever reason.
That we're not going to be choshesh for that either.
We only worry about that in terms of matzah.
But they were talking about a time period many times of a year in between them, and that's, you know. So anyway, Chaim.
Wait, I mean, even according to Bali, though, don't we say because of Shaktu that we still do it on Wednesday?
The Gemara seems to think the Gemara has mitzvahs of getting around that. Right here, we didn't look at that end of the Gemara, but if you look, I want to go back now to the Gemara in Daf Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara says, "What happened to Shaktu?" So the Gemara says, "It's Triachlei." Yerushalmi, it sounds like that you're not allowed to uproot. You, Basula today must get married on Wednesday, either because simply that was the Takana, or because of Bracha. Even Rav Lazar holds a Bracha. But the second presentation in the Yerushalmi sounds like there are those who held that Shalalak or Zman Shuravi is that's just means it's a Davar Shemitzach Miyachad Adira. Even if the reason doesn't apply, the Gzera still applies.
Then,
the Mishnah just says Besul Nisistim Ravi, period. It doesn't reflect on the text of the Mishnah.
No, the Bavli was comfortable saying if the reason given in the Mishnah doesn't apply, you can...
Hold on, just wait 1 second. I want to come back to the Bavli now for a moment. Because you now have to reread the statement in the Bavli. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Lo Shanu Ela Mitakanas Ezra Ve'elach She'en Batei Dinim Kavuim Ela B'Sheni V'Chamishi. The din of the Mishnah was only after the time of Ezra when Batei Din sat on Monday and Thursday. Only sat on Monday and Thursday. But before Takanas Ezra, a woman could get married any day. What was Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's point? The Gemara asked the question, what is he, a historian? Ma'ida hava hava. What's the real answer? What was Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak coming to say? I'm surprised nobody went back. He thought about this. Yeah, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is doing the same thing Rav Lazar did in different words. He has a Mishnah that says that Besula needs to, again, you gotta, this is about put yourself in the time machine and go back to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. You, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, have what in your Mishnah? Jeremy, what does Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak read in his Mishnah? He's a second or third generation Amara. What does he have?
First line.
Besula needs to see Ravi. Look at that line. Put that image in your head. Now he says, Lo Shanu Elakodem Takana says, Va'acha Takana says, she can get married any day. What is he really saying? He's saying Shapamayim b'Shabbos, but they didn't Yoshim b'Sheni b'Chamishi Shemholi Yotans B'Sum Hemashkun LeBeis Din. He's coming to tell you that the reason for Besula getting married on Wednesday is because Thursday is a Beis Din day because the Tan is Besulim.
And what about Monday?
Now, look, put the statement in isolation for a moment. Put the statement in isolation. Is Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak? Ask Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. What would the din be? Bizman Hazeh. When Beis Din doesn't sit any day, or if you have a Beis Din that sits every day, what would you say Rav Shmuel Yitzchak would say? It might be Gzeira. He never. The Bavli turns around and says, Ma'ida hava hava. They say, Kodin Takas Ma'ida hava. They answer, No, Hakamar. If they're Batei Dinim, who are Kvuim, Bechol Yom, like before Takanas Ezra, you can get married any day. But that's not clear that Rosh Hashanah was coming to say that at all. He's just trying to explain why they made a takana to get married on Wednesday. So he's saying the takana to get married on Wednesday only happened after Ezra's takana, which resulted in Batei Dinim only sitting on Monday and Thursday. In fact, I would even go a step further to prove that, Shlomo, because if he were coming to tell us that in a situation where it's like before Takanas Ezra, you can get married any day, why didn't Rav Shmuel Yitzchak not address the question of why you can't get married on Monday? On Sunday night, excuse me, right? The Bavli does. It actually doesn't get into that here. Right, but he should have addressed that issue. So the Bavli just asked, well, what happened to Takan of Shaktus? They say the three Achlai.
Which, of course, uproots the whole Takan of Shaktu in the first place.
Shaktu was viewed as a more flexible Takan, and Nitan Mechina. Besuli Sister Ramvi is not. So the Pashtus is where Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's statement was coming not to tell you can get married any day of the week when you don't have Batei Dinim Kvum or when you do have Batei Dinim Kvum. He was simply coming to explain the reason for the Takana had to do with Tanas Besulim. You can't automatically conclude from that if the reason doesn't apply, the Takana doesn't apply. Once the Gemara says what it says, and the Ritva expands upon this, since we don't have Batei Dinim Kvum B'chol Yom, we have Batei Dinim that aren't Kvum at all, so by logic it should be the same din as Batei Dinim Kvum, you know, Bimei Ezra, Kodin Takana Ezra. So then the conclusion you reach is that this is one of the dinim, which we don't say davar shebimin sach min achlatira, but rather that the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. Why? Because the Gemara said it. But the truth is, and the Gemara said it because they thought that was what Shmuel Yitzchak was saying. But if the Gemara hadn't, but if one now wants to take mechkar and argue that the stomach of the Gemara is not the authoritative later, what comes out is a big chumrah. That Basula today must get married on Wednesday, like the Yushalmi says, Lamaskana of the Yushalmi. The reason why a Basula can get married any day of the week today is because we read like the Maskana of the Bavli. So we should be.
Why would that necessarily be the Maskana if we read like the Amorim? We just wouldn't know.
No, but you'd have no basis for saying. Here's what you'd be left with. The Bavli reached the conclusion that this is not a case of Davar Shabimi, it's a Mechel Atiro, based upon an errant understanding of what Shmuel Yitzchak was saying. He wasn't saying that at all. So it means that among the Amorim, nobody said you can do away with that. So you have. The Amorim and the Bavli are ambiguous on this. The Yushalmi is befeirish against it. So the natural conclusion, if we are progressive and we are going to use Mechkar to produce new halacha, is a Chumrah. Now, I'm not opposed to Chumrah per se. I just think that those people who are typically associated with this, you know, what was described as the attitude of academics, are not generally 10 people who are looking for Chumrahs. But I believe that Keseder, you're going to find, as a general rule, that the results of the Gemara are generally going, of the Masadre Shas, of the stomach of the Gemara, generally produce kulas, not chumras. More flexibility,
like
not less. What's that?
General producer.
What's that? That is, I think it depends who you're talking about, the Mishnah versus the Amorim and so on. But here's a case, certainly it's clear that if you want to adopt the Mechkar reading, you think that has an impact upon halacha, you're going to make the caterers very unhappy and people very unhappy because the price of getting married is now going to get very expensive because everybody's going to be bidding up the halls on Wednesday nights.
And nobody can go.
What's that?
And Sunday, you can get rid of Shaktu.
Right, we can do away with Shaktu, right, that's right. Sunday is more expensive, so.
Except you have somebody who just goes and says, I'm a stomach here.
Yes.
Ravi.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, wouldn't there still be an issue of Hilchasa Kibas Rai? If we go by that principle.
Who are you asking me? Yes.
No, I'm saying even if one were to say that, okay, fine, according to the earlier layers of the Gemara, it would be that even nowadays you'd have to get married on Wednesday, but it seems to be at least the Stamium, and presuming that they were just on as high a level, right? They come later. So.
Ultimately, the reason why the carrots against your question or the response would be, but it's only when they understood things correctly and differed with it, as opposed to if they misunderstood things.
It only works if you think they're doing most of the things.
Consciously. Now, I do think in most cases doing it consciously. This is a case where I'm not under the impression that they're doing it consciously. But it's, you know, again, it's hard to sort of imagine them doing in this case. I just find that difficult. There are too many pieces that aren't there. But this, I think, is a magnificent example when you take all the data together and you have multiple sugyas in the Bavli, and here having the Yushalmi is a godsend, not only in terms of the clarity of the Nusach of the Mishnah that you see in Eretz Yisrael, but also in having the alternative version of Rabbi Elazar's statement that you can compare it against the Bavli. You see so many things going on here. You see the fact the text of the Mishnah can change even though we can't see it in front of our eyes. You can see the effect of layers in the Bavli. You can see the effect of the Gemara's understanding, even on the formulation of the Amoraic statements, the way they're presented. And you see the value of the Yerushalmi in providing, putting the Bavli in relief and making things much clearer. You could have probably reached these conclusions on your own in the Bavli, but they would have been much more heavily in the realm of speculation. But when you take both the Machlokas Bar Kapar and Rav Lazar plus Rav Lazar's formulation in the Yerushalmi, I think it's Baruch Kachama. That's like Ben Sorer Rumorer. What's that? You never heard that? That's very common pronunciation. That's a linguistic hashba. But anyway, I think it's Baruch Kachama that the text of the Mishnah that the Amorim had, at least as late as Abaye, did not have anything but the first line. But this is the only case I've ever encountered where the stem of the Gemara already had the new version of the Mishnah. Now, there's one note that has to be addressed, of course, that you all should ask me, which is... Don't bring me rise from Tosefta. If the Mishnah could get changed, Tosefta could certainly get changed. It's clear they don't have the Tosefta.
That's a raya against the early Amoraim. That whatever they were working without having the Tosefta, but now the Stamim later on had this Tosefta in front of them. So
I'm sorry, with all due respect, Mr. Goldberg, the answer is that this is a post-created Tosefta in light of the Gemara, not one that you could argue is a real Brisa. The Ushami appears not to have it either. But there's one obvious question you should ask, which is...
Well, we still don't know about the Almana.
No. So come back to the original question that we asked, that all the Rishonim asked, the answer is so obvious. Why does the Mishnah give the reason for Basula and not give the reason for Almana? And the answer is... It didn't. It never gave the reason for Basula. Very simple.
But there has to be a reason.
What?
The reason for Almana? The Mishnah still has to have a reason.
So either you say Bar Kapara's Bracha, or the Bavli quotes a Tosefta, what is a Tosefta for us, quotes a version of a different Shaktu for Almana that they want him to spend 3 days with her. So he gets married Thursday night. He doesn't go out to work the next day, Friday. So it's Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, he's to be Sameach with her. In those days, they didn't have Sunday off. Now, the one question, obviously, that one still remains to ask is, wait, there's one other loose end. Now, go back and look at the Tosefta. The funny formulation of the Tosefta, Neima Amr Besula Nisa Sem Ravi, Shemahayu Tanis Besula Mashkim Lebeistin. Now, we ask the question, you know, isn't that looks like just a restatement of the Mishnah, but it's not. It's not a lemma from the Mishnah. The only lemma from the Mishnah, Neima Amru, Besula Nisa Sem Ravi, and then they give the reason, well, that wasn't in the Mishnah. And therefore, the two sides of the Tosefta becomes a perfectly parallel commentary on the Mishnah. Neima Amru Besula Nisa Sem Ravi, Neima Amru Amana Nisa Sem Ravi. It all works beautifully.
Why did they add the Amana back?
It's not a Rai. I agree.
It's a Gzeira. That's why they're saying Mipnei Ma'amru.
But the only Amru Eyal, if you were to look at that Tosefta and you didn't have the Mishnah in front of you, how would you reconstruct the Mishnah? You're a forensic Toseftologist, a forensic Mishnologist.
I don't know how to, because Mipnei Ma'amru could be about a Gzeira.
Yes, but
have that by Gzeira. It doesn't have to be
Eyal. Eyal, you're turning into a skeptical.
No, I agree with you. Those other
when you look, no, but when you look at the Tosefta now, this, by the way, should teach you how to read Tosefta. Mipnei ma'amru, and that's a quotation. Mipnei ma'amru, quote Besul Nisa Sam Ravi. Mipnei ma'amru Amar Nisa Hamishi. Look back at the Mishnah. It's clear the Tosefta is functioning as a commentary on the Mishnah. Now, whether or not it has those reasons, it had the reason of Psula or not, that I think is clear. But in light of everything else, it puts the Tosefta into relief that each one is a quotation of the only two halves of the Mishnah. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you were a forensic Mishnologist and you're working to recreate the Mishnah from what you have in Tosefta, the Mishnah has been swallowed up by the earth, and all you have left is this Tosefta. Again, you could always get it wrong. You could be missing parts, but what you would have reconstructed based upon this Tosefta, it would have been the first line. Or you would have had a much larger Mishnah, and so you wouldn't have just had Besul Nisadim HaMishi Pamayim Mishavis Bat Eidin Yoshim Aveshan Tashimai Hamashkim Lebeistin. That you wouldn't have done. You would have added in both reasons. Also note, just from a literary perspective, the Mishnah is not only asymmetrical, but they sort of, why didn't they give the reason after they said Besul Nisadim Ravi Pamayim Mishavis Bat Eidin Yoshim Aveshan Tashimai and so on, and then say Ve'alman Nisadim HaMishi. Right. Now you'll say that the Mishnah finished the statement first and then later added in something, but that's not
which is often true of a Mishnah.
Okay, but usually we repeat.
Right.
Usually we repeat, which is exactly what Tosefta has done.
Lulav, Hamisha, Keitza, yeah.
I'm with Gabe on this one. I'm with Gabe on this one. So anyway, again, if I didn't have any other rayas, I wouldn't stand up and use this as my as the raya. But again, it's the there are certain things that I think are absolutely clear as rayas, and then everything else, you know, once you know that there was a piece of loose bread, you know, and the mouse stole it, so then you're not surprised when you start finding the crumbs everywhere. Okay. I'm sorry, it's the Tinokus Mafar, not the Achbar. Okay. Anyway. Yes, Gabe.
Also, I noticed it fits well with the other Mishnayos in the chapter. Sula's name says Liam Ravine, Vamon Liam Machamishi. The Sula go from Asayan, Valvara Bana. The Mishnah is going through the various ways.
Okay. I would like to see it laid out completely. That might be true as well.
I just looked at it.
Okay. Ben?
I still don't really...
You still haven't asked me the important question yet.
I still don't really understand why Shmuel Bar Yitzchak isn't concerned about Sunday night.
Because exactly the point. Because
if he was giving a reason for the Mishnah, his reason only counts for half of the Mishnah. And if he's accepting as a Tekana, it's both
nights. Ben, his point is he doesn't have to explain. He could simply say they picked a day. Without having to, so I, you know, he would have said the same thing if they had picked it Sunday, as opposed to they picked Wednesday. He's not interested in that. He just wants to explain to you why is that the Basula has a designated day. The answer is because Shem Hayitan Spesim Ashkenazim based him. All right. Now, the last question that you should, of course, all ask me is, somebody asked it last week. How did it get in the Mishnah?
Okay.
And I'm not going, well, but what the question is, Babylonian influence. How? Someone decided. So the answer. I'm not answering the question because for that question you have to go. You have to go to the library. What I mean that is you have to leave the base of Medrash and go to the library because that's a historical question there about the redaction of the Mishnah, and not. And again, I'm not Chassid Shalom opposed to it. I in principle. I'm. What's that? I'm fascinated by the question. Do not misunderstand me. And I do talk about this a little bit. The real question I want to know is this is intentional or unintentional? I can show you at least three or four other clear examples where the text of the Mishnah changed in response to Sugyos and the Bavli.
We had our Gemara in Brachos. I mean, there was a quote from Mithilta, but we had the statement to Rabbi Akiva, also low.
Okay, but that could be almost subconscious. You know, it's the same question, how did Rabbi Lazar's statement change? But when I have a Mishnah, a couple of places in Adios, we have pieces in the Mishnah that were brought in from elsewhere and clearly were a product of something the Amoraim said in the Bavli, making connections. The question is, how did it happen? Was it intentional or unintentional? I don't have any real evidence one way or the other. In other words, is it possible that a scribe wrote it as a commentary in the margin of the Mishnah manuscript in the 8th century and it accidentally got copied in? I don't know. There are a few simanim that suggest that it was intentional. I'm not going to go through them now, but I can't prove it definitively. If, however, it's correct that the changes in the Mishnah were intentional, that obviously opens a historical can of worms as to how the text of the Mishnah was regarded. Who went back post Rav Ashi and changed the text of the Mishnah in light of comments of the Bavli? What were they thinking? And remember, when I say they changed the text of the Mishnah, they changed it well enough and early enough that every single manuscript we have, both in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, that's the fascinating part, has it in the Mishnah. That's a piece that also has to be worked out. Clearly, it's not in the Mishnayos in Eretz Yisrael, and it gets into the Mishnah. I take that back here. Let me take that back. How did it get into the Mishnah? Some of you said Bavli. I don't agree with you. I don't think that's true at all. It's Rabbi Lazar. It could very well have worked its way in Eretz Yisrael independently or whatever else. So I don't know for sure which it worked its way into the Mishnah because all the Amoraim held this way. It's Rabbi Lazar's formulation that provides clause 3 of the Mishnah. Shem Hayilat Tanz B'Sem Yerashkele Beisdim. Who provided clause 2? Shepamayim B'Shabbos Bat Yedin Yoshim? It looks like Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Again, but there the problem is he didn't say the formulation that way.
He's also making a very obvious point. He's simply inserting something that was just understood, and it's a nice thing to preface the Tanis.
Correct. It's not necessary. It's not necessary to have the Mishnah mean what it means to us now, to have that line in there, but it seems to be a response to Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's statement. My point of intentionality, or the suggestion of intentionality, is because Rabbi Lazar's statement, if the Mishnah read, Besula rin amara chamishi shim hayel tanas besulam heimashkin lebeisdin, I can explain to you easily how that happened. Somebody wrote it in the margins of the manuscript as perish, or like Rabbi Hudai Gon did, and then it got swallowed up in the Mishnah. But Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, well, okay, but that happens in every text of the Gemara we have, right? But Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Rav Shmuel bar, I mean, that's important for the text, for the studying the history of the manuscripts and or of the oral tradition and when it get or the written tradition of where everything comes from. But in other words, it's almost like even as late as Rav Yehuda Igo, and there's only one Ur text of the Gemara, because everything's coming from that. Right? Some of them still have the word Perush in it, and some of them lose it, but they all have the text the way it does. It's not our issue now. Again, this is a question, not because I don't think it's interesting, important, and fascinating, but that is the academy's question. But when you have a statement that didn't exist, or you know, I, for example, the first mission in Adios is found verbatim in Nida, and I understand how it got copied into Adios, because it's related. It's three machokas of Shammai and Hillel, and I can see how an accidental copyist error could cause that. But when you have language which was not formulated anywhere else in Tanaitic sources, how exactly did it creep its way in the Mishnah? Again, you could say it was new commentary, and it got swallowed up, and maybe that's what happened. And maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But that's a fascinating academic question. Were the people going back and intentionally editing the Mishnah, despite the fact that we think the Mishnah was a closed corpus? And I can't prove that was the case.
And why would they do it?
Because it was a living, important document. Why do people change Rashi today when they don't like what Rashi says? Because they won't want what
they just cut stuff out. They don't add stuff in.
There's plenty of stuff that got added to Rashi, not so much today. But why do people cut stuff out? Now, they'll tell you because Rashi never really said it. The real reason they're cutting it out is because they want Rashi to reflect their own views.
Rashi clearly couldn't have said such a thing.
I know, but it's only because they want Rashi to reflect their own views. I understand that, Chaim. The explicit rationale is such. So there's a point at which it's not crazy. Right? If Rashi is not a historical document, Rashi is the commentary we use to read Chumash, then presumably it must reflect the correct Hashkafos.
But it doesn't have to do with adding things in.
Okay, but that's not happening anymore either. In other words, that far we don't go. But they may have regarded it as a more greater degree of flexibility. I don't know. I'm not saying that
they didn't
it was
have a Gemara.
It was oral.
I don't know for sure. The possibility has to be considered. Okay, we can daven mincha. Shall I take a question? We'll daven mincha now.
I mean, something like this mission is different than the Mishnah in Aniot, because here the influence. The change of Mishnah seems to be the impetus of Babylon, and therefore has to be a change that's earlier, at least before the Sugya.
Yes, that's even further proof. This is not a result of the Sugya of the Babli, correct. The Babli, this is unusual. The Babli is a response to that. I think it's a response to Reb Lezer's statement, and you know, clearly that's the one that got in, and how it got in, I don't know. Were there any people who were reciting Mishnah orally who recited commentary on it too, and somebody accidentally ran it into it? Maybe.
Or even more so, if they were citing it orally, and Reb Lezer's statement had such force that it became part of a. I'm not 100% clear on this. I think Dr. Elman at least thinks the Mishnah was written down a long time before the Babylon.
Even though it's written down relatively late, you know, he's not saying it's written down Rebbe's time, but it may be written down in Ravashi's time, okay, or that's Rav and Abaye. I have post Ravashi case also in Gittin, Chaf Beis and the Mishnah Adios Beis Beis.
I don't think I mean it didn't get changed, but I think that it was at least starting.
Written text.
Right, because I think he proves it from linguistically, like Mishnah Hebrew 2 is early Mishnah Hebrew 1, or Rabbinic Hebrew 2 and Rabbinic Hebrew 1.
Okay.
So basically, today we don't have any Beis Din, we don't have Shaktu, we don't have Tayyaf's Basilim, and we don't have Chashash Sota.
Correct.
So all this is relevant only because.
Because maybe you hold like the Yerushalmi, you got to get married on Wednesday. So yes, those of you who did already, Moshe and Shalom and Shlomo and Eyal and I'm missing Jeremy. I think that's it. I got you all. I don't know if you got married Wednesday or not, but...
If you didn't, it's still
Yes.
I got married
yes. Otherwise, we have a new...